Everybody hear me? Yep, okay, perfect. So thank you for the introduction. My name is Francis. I've been at Track Maven for about 2 years. I have a consulting background, so I spent a few years working for a company called Booz Allen, working in marketing. So hopefully I can understand a few things you guys work within. And then Track Maven's based in Washington, D.C., and if you like puppies, who doesn't like puppies, follow this guy. So anyone that's involved on social media, this is the best way to keep in touch with our brands. Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, all the fun channels, he's there. We're based in Washington, D.C., work with lots of different types of brands. This is just intended to show you how diverse we are. Anybody focusing on creating content marketing, creating more engaging topics and tactics is anybody that we'll work with. So As Bernie mentioned, how do we cut through the noise and create effective content? I'm going to start off with a quick story on Pottery Barn. So if you look at Pottery Barn online, they put out great content, they put out tons of content, all seems great. Well, we ran a study on their content and found that as they produce more content, their engagement, overall engagement, actually decreased. So that's a problem. Now, as we are marketers, we understand the importance of content marketing. 4 to 5 marketers are now using content in their marketing strategy, so content marketing is extremely important, and 30% of our budgets are now dedicated to content marketing, and 50% of us say that'll increase the next year. So big opportunity, big problem. Now, by our own admission, this is a study by the Content Marketing Institute. They go out every year and they want to understand, how do we feel about our content? Are we doing well? Are we doing poor? Well, about 70% of B2B marketers don't feel very effective with their content. About 60% of B2C marketers don't feel very effective with their content. One of the top priorities for content creators. Well, creating more engaging content and better understanding of what content is effective are the top two priorities according to the Content Marketing Institute. So it's not just putting out content. It's not just creating graphics, creating content programs. It's actually creating good content. So how do we do that? Lots of different options. We think about an evolving landscape. Most folks will use a social listening tool, maybe a content production tool. Well, the reality is most content is actually failing. So I touched on that a second ago with the CMI study. We did a few studies internally. As our content production increases, our engagement is dropping. When we look at blog posts, among 2 million different branded blog posts, professionally marketed contents, 45% got 0 to 10 social shares, about 1 in 4 received no engagement. Look at Twitter, 6 million tweets, 27% received no engagement. So that's the problem that we're looking to solve. Well, how did we get here? Who watches Mad Men? Pretty good show. Who likes Don Draper? He's awesome. Well, you think about how Don Draper creates content. He comes into a room like this maybe, or maybe a boardroom at a big chalkboard or a whiteboard, and he says, I have this great idea. I've done something a few years ago similar to this. Let's run with this and see how it goes. So largely based on experience, largely based on guts, and that still resonates with a lot of marketers today. We think about all these different channels that have popped up. Just in the last 2 years, we look at Snapchat, 100 million users now on Snapchat. And they were offered $3 billion about 3 or 4 years ago, and they turned it down. And if you were me, you were laughing at that. That's crazy. Who's going to turn down $3 billion? That's awesome. I'm sorry about that. They turned down $3 billion, and now you see McDonald's, ESPN, all these big brands using that platform. A platform that didn't really matter. As marketers, we didn't know how to use it. Now you see McDonald's, you see ESPN. Just this morning, I watched a sneak peek into Kobe Bryant's last game in Cleveland, a really innovative new platform for reaching new audiences. And just this morning, the gentleman was talking about how Snapchat is a new platform. We look at Vine, we look at Viadeo, which is the LinkedIn for Europe. We Heart It, a Latin American Pinterest, lots of different types of channels. So we think about how do we fit a content strategy across these channels? And I think it was Phil or Philip yesterday spoke about 3 channels. Pick 3 channels that are really important to you and be really great at those channels. So how do we decide what channels are best for us and how do we effectively play in those channels? Well, you think about TV's analogy for this. So TVs now, you're cutting the cord. They're new mediums for digesting content. We've created much more opportunities and much more channels to digest content. But in TV, we're still consuming the same amount of content, the same amount of channels. So although there are more channels available to us as consumers and marketers, consumers are still digesting the same amount of content as they were. This is a similar study by CEB looking at content marketing success and the metrics for success. So B2B in 2015, the top metric was website traffic. Makes a lot of sense. Let's drive traffic. Let's convert leads. Let's drive e-commerce. Well, in 2016, that's now shot down to about 5 or 6. Sales lead quality, sales are on the top metrics in 2016 that B2B marketers are tracking. B2C, very similar. Website traffic was top, now it's 3. Sales, higher conversion rates. So we're focused more on ROI now. How do we actually convert from these channels? How do we see leading metrics that lead to higher ROI, not just vanity metrics like website traffic? So What's next? What's a trend we can talk about? Explosion in channels. We talk about Snapchat, Viadeo, WeHearted, all these different options, all these new TV channels. Well, there's a report looking at CMOs. What percent of CMOs are selecting as top five factors on their mind coming into 2016? The top four: data explosion, social media, growth of channels and device choices, shifting consumer demographics. So the top one, data explosion. How do we use the right data? There are so many different tools and solutions and options for data. How do we use the right data? How do we know what that is? The second shift is probably something that resonates with most marketers in the room. The free lunch is over on social, so the shift to paid and native advertising is now taking the day. We look at average Facebook organic reach. It's decreased 50% is what we're calling the change. So as Facebook started promoting paid content over organic content, engagement with all brands has gone down with their organic content. This red line are going to be all Facebook pages. This gray line is pages with over 500,000 likes. Now we see a less drop in them because they're used to promoting their content. So where do we go from here? Well, shorten your learning cycle. I listened to a talk yesterday by a lady at Kroll. I don't know if anybody else sat that presentation. And her and I were speaking afterwards. And she performed this really long, extensive ROI study about a year after she actually paid for her programs. Did a really good job of understanding what money came out from the money I put in. But a real inability, as she would admit, 6 months, 3 months, 2 months in to learn from what she was doing. If it wasn't working well, how do we adjust that in real time to leverage a higher ROI at the ends? So we need to quicken our learning cycles. Don't just think about social. How does my entire digital footprint fit together? Even though website traffic has shrunk in importance, how do we drive our web from social? How do we increase our SEO from our blog? How do we fit this all into one vantage? Learn from your share of voice. So how do we capture attention? One thing that's been talked about here in this conference is not just competing with competitors, it's competing with a BuzzFeed or anybody that captures share of voice or share of attention from your audience. Beware of the vanity metrics. So for website traffic we talked about, when we look at this chart here, we can see Target has 22 million fans on Facebook. It's about 20 times the average of the luxury retailer group that we're tracking. Nordstrom has 3 million fans. Target's posting about 1.5 times a day. If you go to their page, say, oh, they're doing great, they're killing it on Facebook. If you look down at these metrics down here, actual engagement metrics, interactions per post, they're getting slammed. So Nordstrom with a smaller community, much more effective with their content. Be careful following the leader. So who remembers the dress that was really popular about a year, year and a half ago? Well, Lord & Taylor tried jumping on this. They put out a tweet. They got 5 interactions with that tweet. So if you're just operating in an echo chamber where you're following what some brands are saying around some topic, that may not be relevant to your brands. How do you take content relevant to your brands and craft a story around that? Protect your funnel. So if you're a B2B buyer, before someone actually engages with your brand, they're 3/5 of the way to a purchase decision. This is a study by CEB. Before they talk to a sales rep from your company, they're already informed. They already pretty much know who you're gonna go with. They're just looking for validation around their assumptions. For B2C, user-generated content is now increasing ever so quickly. Think about going to dinner, checking a TripAdvisor or Yelp or anything like that. We all do this in our personal lives. Same thing with our buyers. So track Maven. What are some things that we focus on with our clients? So think about social listening, content management. What about content analytics? How do we know what to talk about? These are things that we'll preach to our clients in terms of importance. Report universally, not just looking at social. Bring it all together. Gauge impact and ROI. How do we learn in real time? How do we identify leading indicators? Now, we're a company from Washington, D.C. An example that we always provide is think about House of Cards. Anybody here watch House of Cards? There's a story with House of Cards that's really interesting. If you've been to Content Marketing World, Kevin Spacey spoke of that a few years ago, and they actually shopped this show to HBO, Cinemax, and they all turned it down. They wanted 2 seasons up front. Now they said, do a pilot. We said, no, we're not doing a pilot. So they went to HBO, said no. They went to Netflix, they said no. Netflix went back, they looked at their metrics. They looked at David Fincher directed movies, political thrillers, movies featuring Kevin Spacey. Those metrics were off the charts. They went back to House of Cards and said, okay, we'll do your show. We'll do 2 years up front, but stop talking to everybody else. So they identified a few leading metrics they were gonna measure their campaign on, and then we all know the story of House of Cards. So really the story there is they made an intelligent bet based on a few things they know their audience cared about, and they drove their ROI there from the very beginning. Create consistently winning content. Identify topics and tactics your audience cares about. Drive at those consistently. This is just a brush our shoulders off slide, I suppose. So TrackMaven customers receive about 6 times as engaging content as the 10,000 benchmark brands that we're capturing in our system. Quick presentation. The takeaways are going to be content marketing is collapsing under our own weight. So when we look at content marketing statistics around engagement, around relevance, don't chase the vanity metrics. Actually know what your audience cares about. Thought leadership does not equal commercial insight. Share of voice, share of attention. Know how and where to go to your customers to learn from them. Now, we look at Pottery Barn, that story from the very beginning. They reversed their trajectory. They stopped posting so much, they posted less, they found what their audience cared about, and their engagement increased with that. This is an example for them before and after. This Red Branch Coral Frame Prints, 47 interactions. How to Make a Wine and Cheese Night, 570 interactions. So they dug in on what drove interaction, they shifted their brand story. A Pop of Coral on the Sofa, Make a Sofa Room Look Bigger. You can see 1,240 interactions. So with that, I figure with a small group, we just do a Q&A and have a collaborative discussion around this. Any thoughts or questions on content or any stories from you guys?
In the example of Pottery Barn, were those from the same channel, those two examples you showed?
I believe they were Pinterest.
They seem like they would be Pinterest. Yeah, that one right there.
Yep, these were both Pinterest.
Huh.
So in the first, it's looking really at a catalog. They're using the channel as an opportunity to post products. And the second, community, activities, things that actually interest the audience.
Right. It's more of a lifestyle image as well as description, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you repurpose content, and do you suggest doing so?
So it's what we say to our clients, it's important to have a warehouse of content stories that resonate with your audience, but each channel, as we've heard throughout the conference, is inherently different, so you can't post the same story on each channel and expect to get the same engagement across those channels. So create topics and themes that you know resonate with your audience, but then create specific stories in different channels is what we would recommend. Yeah, exactly. So when you understand what engages your audience, that doesn't change as often as these channels, for instance, will change. Your target market doesn't change their beliefs and their thoughts. So understanding those themes that drive audience engagement, if it worked a year ago or on a particular holiday or a particular event, certainly look to optimize that again. Don't tell the same story or the same post, but consider that a theme or an insight that could work well with your audience.
You mentioned that Facebook interaction, organic interaction, or organic reach has gone down 49% since the change. Are you referring to instant articles or something else? I'm just wondering if you can dig into that a little bit.
The algorithm within Facebook now rewards boosted posts over the organic posts. They're looking to drive their advertising platform. So if you're boosting your content through their Edge Rank algorithm system, they'll push you higher in the newsfeed. Makes it harder for small brands who are not boosting their posts to be noticed in there. So that's the problem that this organic slide is looking at here.
Could you give an example of content that might be used differently on different channels?
Sure.
What you were just talking about.
Yeah, so it depends on your business, but just looking at a B2B example, say you have a white paper that you're going to publish, there's a more call to action on your LinkedIn page than you would be. You might not even post that on Facebook, but on Twitter you might just populate a link in there with a quick post around that. So you have one story, and LinkedIn it's more business focused, Facebook more community, Twitter more information focused. So you take that narrative and then you publish around it in those different channels. So an example could be if we're looking at Pinterest, this is a more do-it-yourself channel. So when we look at this post here on the right, this is something that you can do as a user. You can pin this as an idea for later. On Instagram, you might just share this post, maybe an after effect of the party or during or something like that, a little more fun platform. Just understanding the native interactions around that platform and taking your story and shifting it into that.
Okay. Francis, LinkedIn obviously is a B2B social channel. But as Facebook is maturing, a lot of B2B brands are using Facebook as well. So how do you see LinkedIn kind of competing with Facebook in terms of a place for B2B brands to distribute content and reach their audience?
So I think Facebook, and I'd be interested if anyone else has any thoughts on this, is inherently a community-driven platform, important in the B2B space for recruiting, things like that. But in terms of actually driving traffic, I think of the audience and how they engage on that channel, there's a native advertising benefit to Facebook, but there's not an advantage to actually engaging with a brand from a business sense on Facebook as to LinkedIn. So I would still say that's the place to be for driving B2B growth in that channel.
Some of the pages that we manage as an agency, Facebook Notes is starting to play an impact where you can actually put your entire blog article like you can on LinkedIn. You can put a cover image at the top, plus any links that live and breathe within your blog post, you just copy it over from your website, put it into Facebook, and your links will actually stay hyperlinked within Facebook Notes. So then you can also, at the bottom of that, link it to a CTA and do that. So I'm interested to kind of see what kind of Facebook does with that and with its algorithm, if it starts to put any pressure on using Facebook Notes for long-tail posts instead of putting it into one long status, like we've been seeing some companies do. So that's just my take on what maybe Facebook is doing.
That's smart. And Bernie, to your question, I mean, Facebook, especially in the B2C space, drives a lot of website traffic and e-commerce. So we could see that evolution in the B2B space as well through Facebook Notes.
So Francis, where do you see analytics going? I mean, you've got a lot of great insights. You know, being a track maven, you're in it every day. You're living, breathing it every day. You see what your clients are doing every day. Where do you see analytics going over the next year, two, 3 years?
From our feedback, and you guys are all marketers, so you would know, we see a lot of feedback from marketers that really want predictive analytics. So how do we understand? It's great to get the recommendations and the insights, but marketers really love to be able to told, this is what you should post right here, right now on this channel, and here's why. So we see the market going in that direction, the publishing and planning aspect, but also these are the topics and themes your audience cares about, so a predictive element to content recommendations.
And to follow on the point about content recommendations, if I understand you correctly, it's to recommend what content to produce based on what the predictive analytics is telling you.
So identify a target market. So for my brand, it's 25 to 34-year-old males that like these things. We could spit out recommendations on those topics that would engage the audience at a certain level of confidence and a certain level of impact relative to the average. So we see a lot of feedback and excitement around those sort of things. Give me something actionable right now with influencers, with target markets, things like that.
Okay. Other questions? Okay, I'm going to ask you one more. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and you can answer this however you want.
Okay.
Do you have any examples? You don't have to name brand names.
Yep.
Any examples of Track Maven clients that are doing really successful, effective analytics?
Yeah, so I had a couple of case studies that I pulled out of here. But in the first year of implementing Track Maven, you saw the slide on the 6X, 5.71X. So you see significant growth in engagement and community size typically. And then if you look at a brand like Marriott's a client of ours, they're trying to shift, they're trying to rebrand a bit, and that's also something that's typically helpful. How do I rebrand to a new audience? How do I identify topics that engage that particular subset? And James will point you out, we talked about this earlier. So how do I understand what this target market cares about? That's what Marriott's using us for. So they're trying to drive a new community on their same channels by shifting their brand story. Not by starting and stopping, but creating different themes in there.